Bad. Okay, perfect. So I'm going to start that over again. Could you give me a little bit of your background on your research or knowledge of chronic diseases?
Sure. I'm Dr. Susan Raymond. I have a doctorate in economics and public health from Johns Hopkins. Went from there to the World Bank, where I did lending in the health sector, and then the State Department and various other positions after that. In working as a foreign policy advisor to USAID reform, Congressional Reform Commission, I was responsible for projecting out what the critical issues in global health were going to be over the next 20 to 30 years. And when I did that and looked at the data and sort of unbundled World Health Organization data, it became very clear that really it was chronic disease that was going to dominate the problems. And that was largely cardiovascular disease, heart disease, and cerebrovascular disease, stroke, in addition to diabetes. And diabetes is sort of part of all of that complication, that complex of conditions, driven in part by behavior, but also driven really dominantly by what was happening to demography, that death rates were falling, birth rates were falling, and life expectancies were increasing. But what was happening with chronic disease in the developing world was that early death rates were occurring, not when people were 70 or 60, but when they were 40 and 45. And that if you looked at the death rates from chronic disease in the labor force, in the working ages, they were higher than had been experienced in the West in the 1950s when everyone smoked and before we broke the back of that problem. And so this was, at the time, and is still to some extent, blasphemy in the global health community, because the emphasis has always been on infectious disease. And the capabilities are always posited on infectious disease. And so I worked on a series of studies, the Earth Institute at Columbia University and with a number of other people, to try to publish some of this, to try to get the role of chronic disease in the future of global health to be understood and for people to start to think about what does it mean to do something about that. And that's sort of how I got into this space from a very traditional role. I mean, much of what I did at the bank was infectious disease. I only sort of transitioned into this when I was working in Eastern Europe and the Soviet Union, as the Soviet Union came apart. Obviously, in those countries, chronic disease, particularly heart disease, was the dominant part of epidemiology in those countries.
Okay, that's very interesting. Thank you very much for that answer. So another question we had was just sort of, you sort of just touched on this, but why do you think sort of the focus is on infectious disease as opposed to chronic diseases in terms of controlling and improving global health outcomes?
You know, that's a very interesting question there. That's an onion that's really an interesting peel. You know, in part, it's because infectious diseases are a traditional focus and are, in fact, written into U.S. development assistance legislation. And so they're seen as a threat, if you will, globally. Malaria, Ebola, sort of. And so they're top of mind when people come to, when it comes to fear. Okay. Yeah. In part, it's because it's much easier to raise money for someone who has health conditions that are very visible, okay? Who has elephantitis, you know, who has all these things. And you can show a picture of that and, oh, isn't this terrible? And, oh, we need to do something about this. Whereas, you know, I have hypertension, you know, yeah. Very hard to raise money for me. And so the visibility of disease is very different. And finally, the question of what do you do about it? You know, you kill mosquitoes to get at malaria. You take a pill to get at malaria. What do you do about diabetes? You know, when it's a function of so many other things, and the handle on the ball is not a health handle necessarily. It's health, it's education, it's trade, it's behavior, it's psychology, it's food. You know, there's no place to get your handle on this to actually have a strategy for it. So it's a very hard problem. And you're asking countries that have a million hard problems to work on, you know, including malaria and infectious disease. It's not like those things went away, all right? Mm-hmm. So now you've added on another priority, even though it's a priority with huge economic implications for the workforce, very tough to get the policy focus shifted, the money focus shifted, a very tough, tough matter.
Mm-hmm. You're just saying how the infectious diseases are way more prevalent in research, but now we're in this time period where our world is dominated by COVID and infectious disease, but with that comes chronic illnesses like lung problems and heart diseases and everything, which I think is a really interesting convergence of the two. How do you think this could potentially shift the spotlight and research more towards chronic illnesses, or what do you think like the effects on the field of global health could be moving forward?
You know, you're right. I said from the beginning, you know, a year ago, the irony of all this is that what it is some of us have been saying for a long time, which is the underlying chronic conditions are set the stage for mortality and high morbidity consequences of infectious disease, is now clear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, makes
a lot of sense. But the focus continues to be on the infectious disease. When the infectious disease is overcome, you know, when we come through COVID in this country, will we emphasize nutrition and hypertension control in our underserved populations? Or will we say, whoosh, thank God that's over. Let's go to McDonald's. let's all have a pizza and celebrate. You know, and I'm not arguing Sprouts, but And will developing countries, will India, which has a huge diabetes problem and a huge hypertension problem, you know, which is showing up in all of the mortality data, not the transmission data, but the mortality and high morbidity data. Will India all of a sudden say, let's all get out and run? I don't know the answer to that. We have a rising middle class around the world. You know, the good thing about economic development is that you get economic development, you know, which means you get a middle class, which means you get people who want cars. Thank you very much. And there's no reason they shouldn't have a car, and they want air conditioners. Thank you very much. And there's no reason they shouldn't have an air. Why shouldn't they have an air conditioner if you have to have air conditioners in at Notre Dame? You know, absolutely. So the good thing about economic development is that we get a middle class. And with the middle class, we get change. But global health as a community of practice has not caught up with that, because in some ways it's more than a health problem. And you can't load a C-147 up with vaccines and shoot a bunch of people up and solve it.
Yeah, so related to that and going off that, how do you think global health efforts should strive to treat this burden of existing chronic diseases Or do you think maybe we should focus more on these prevention strategies to prevent these new cases from arising in the first place?
I think what we have to do is, what global health has to do is to open its leadership structure up. You know, if you look at the leadership of global health, they're dominant people, dominantly people come out of infectious disease and reproductive health. Mm-hmm. And now I'm going to, you know, have to put a bag on my head when I'm done. But if you look at, if you look at the morbidity and mortality data for women in their reproductive years and when they have young families, except for Africa, and Africa is coming, you know, the curve is there, it's coming. The dominant causes of early death of women in their reproductive years and immediately after their reproductive years when they have young families is cardiovascular disease. Okay? So reproductive health, women's health, that's focused on an organ is not women's health. Mm-hmm. Women's health is cardiovascular disease and cancer and stroke. And global health has never treated it that way. Global health has defined women's health as a function of their reproductive systems. And women in the developing world ought to stand up and get on the streets and protest those. Those women who died of cardiovascular disease were in those clinics. And they weren't screened, they weren't prevented, and they weren't treated.
Right.
And so it's opening up the leadership to looking at this as a matter of health, not as a matter of ideology, not as a matter of history, not as a matter of tradition, not as a matter of what I know. I don't know anything about that, so I guess maybe I should really encourage people only to focus on infectious disease. You know, at Columbia, when we did this study, at Columbia School of Public Health, I could have this wrong, there was no or only one course focused on chronic disease. Well, if that's not what you're going to teach people, then that's not the expertise they're going to come out with, and mm-hmm. that's not the job they're going to get, and that's not the leader they're going to become. You know, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Mm-hmm. So, what has to happen? Leadership has to open up. And the existing generation, what I say at Columbia when I lecture on this is, the existing generation of leaders isn't going to do it. Mm-hmm. It's your leadership. It's your ages that understand that, you know, women's health is not about an organ. And that understand that you don't want to live through another COVID-19 and it's hot knife through butter because of pre-existing chronic disease. And right. You're the leaders who are going to stand up and say, no, we're not going to do it this way.
Mm-hmm. Speaking on that leadership, do you think leadership, like what type of leadership is most effective, coming from NGOs or governments or like private organizations, or what do you think is the most effective sort of organization for chronic illnesses?
I've spent enough time in the government to be suspicious of that as a pathway. I think it's going to have to come out of a combination of the medical, the physician community and the public health community together. I think it's not a question of what kind of structure, you know, whether you make a profit or don't make a profit, or you're elected by the people or not elected by the people, or whatever. I think that it is going to have to come out of the professions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, part of it's money. You know, part of it's money. Mm-hmm. If you look at the way in which global health money is spent, public money, philanthropic money, there's no money mm-hmm. for chronic disease. There's mm-hmm. no money. And so it's difficult to be a leader, you know, if you don't have any money to do anything. And so if you want to be a leader, you follow the money. You know, you do malaria. You do, you know, you do reproductive health. You do the things that people will pay for. So it's, you know, it's going to take guts.
Yeah.
So one thing that I've looked into a little bit is maybe tobacco control and something like taxes or some sort of governmental control over the process of selling and using and buying tobacco. So do you think that will have an important role going forward in reducing global burden of chronic diseases?
Yeah, look, tobacco is a bad thing. So tobacco control is the very important element. Yeah. There are lots of other very important elements. Healthy lifestyles are important. Culture is important, you know, that, you know, gender equality is important, not just in terms of, you know, organs, but in terms of exercise. You know, in some cultures, it's unknown for a woman to be seen in any exercise setting. So nutrition is important. You know, food is important. How food is priced is important. So all of these things, and that's why I was saying the problem with chronic disease, unlike infectious diseases, there's not a handle on the ball. You know, you can't load up a C-147 with vaccines and shoot people up. You know, there's not a strategy. There's not a, what are you going to do? And at the government level, it's not the Minister of Health, you know, alone. It's the Minister of Economy. It's the Minister of Sport. It's the Minister of Women's Affairs. It's, you know, well, how do you build that coalition? And so chronic disease control is a matter of coalition building. And that's not the way global health has approached its work. It's approached its work as being a matter of health. And to the extent it had to, if it was forced to, also a matter of medicine. But if we could get around those physicians, that would be great. But if we have to talk to them, I guess we will. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't do chronic disease that way. It's a tough issue. And to some extent, you talk about leadership. It has to come from professions beyond health. You know who's going to pay the price here is employers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I gave a speech once to a group of scientists, and I said, you know, look, this is going to work when you get employers involved, when they're part of your coalition, when business is part of your coalition. These were public health. I said, how many of you in your wallet, in your Rolodex, in your phone, have a contact that's a head of a business? Zero. Nobody even knew anybody to talk to. Because we don't have to. You know, we just load up the plane with vaccines and we shoot people up. So it's a whole different way of thinking about what job you're trying to do. You know, you're talking about these intersectoral relationships, who you know, who you play golf with, who you have dinner with, who you invite to speak, you know, at your conference. Maybe you invite an insurance company to speak at your conference. There's a thought. So, you know, it's a different way of doing business.
Yeah. I'm sure this is all just the tip of the iceberg for all the layers of, like you said, the onion of chronic illnesses and global health, and how I feel like it's really something that I think after hearing you speak, especially, there's a lot of resources that should be going towards chronic illnesses versus other things. Not saying they're not important, but kind of the intersection is really important.
Well, and there's a double burden of disease in developing countries. It's not like diarrhea went away.
Mm-hmm. You
know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But
now you've got to do two things at once.
Yeah. Yeah. We really, really appreciate all the knowledge
thank you very much.
Have for us, but thank you.
Well, thank you so much for asking me.
Yeah, nice of course. Okay, I need to make sure I pause this correctly so it saves. Do I just hit stop?
Yeah, I think you just hit stop and it